not old, I'm just slow. Let me say before we get started, I really appreciate Travis stepping up, and his dad is the manager at Walmart's in Richmond, and he got us a really, really good deal on our fruits this time, and gave us a $100 gift certificate, knocked that off of it also, and nice fruit. So don't leave today without getting you a fruit bag out there. And it's got some candy in it, too, to sweeten you up. I know Jeff's already sweetened a bunch of you up. So if I see you yawning around, I may have to run out there and holler at you. Or I might start yawning, too, and we'd be in trouble. So we'll do the best we can, right? Let me also say, I appreciate you that donate to God's pantry just to show their appreciation to our church. They called and said, we've got four turkeys out here if you want to come and get them to give out to somebody in your church. I said, sure. So went out and picked them up, gave them all away the same day. Didn't keep a one for myself. How about that? We didn't need one. We had a big, huge one in the freezer. And turkey is only, I just like turkey about a couple times a year, and that's about it. Don't take a whole lot to do me, but I thought that was really nice of them, didn't you? Really nice. So I picked some people that I thought could use them, and or... And I think my battery's going dead in this mic. If it is, I'll grab another one. But I appreciate that. I thought they were showing their appreciation. And we've been taking 50 food bags to the South Urban School that the food pantry has been donating. And thank you for you that have been helping bag the food up, unbox it, and all of that. It don't just happen. It takes work. And I want to say a special thank you to all you that have been helping out on that. And makes it worthwhile. What made the wise men wise? Most men like to believe that they're wise. Nobody wants to believe they're stupid, do they? I mean, do we? Unless it's you women, you wouldn't want to believe that either, would you? No, I'm just kidding. But what made the wise men wise? If you want to stand, we'll read you a few verses of Scripture, and we'll get right underway. I appreciate you being here this morning. We have a lot in there practicing and so forth, getting ready for this evening. Appreciate all the work that goes into this. It don't just happen either. It takes work. But Matthew chapter number 2, beginning with verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. They were all troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him in Bethany of Judea, Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and though Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the priests of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, now notice this, he's not in a stable now, he's in a house. They saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. God, that you're a wise God. You're wiser than any man or any woman, because you're an all-knowing God, and you're all-seeing God, and you're all-hearing God, and you're all-providing God. And Lord, this morning we're just so thankful, God, for this wonderful season and time of year, Lord, that we can come together and just share your Son and his love and his dedication, Lord, that happened through the Virgin Mary. And we're asking this morning, God, that you just help us to open up our hearts this morning, God, and help us to lean on you and trust you and believe, God, that you're going to encourage us through this special Christmas time. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, these three wise men, if there were three, there's really no proof that we can find that there were three, but it's been used that there was three wise men, appeared to be just about the dense as most men. Now think on this. I'm going to give them a little hard time here for a minute. Did they bring toys, clothes for baby Jesus, something to eat? No. They brought a hunk of material we're going to call gold, and they brought a ground tree sap, frankincense, and then they brought myrrh, is a poisonous substance, and myrrh is something that they use for different things. But is this real bright to bring to the baby Jesus the first time that you see him? Well, if the wise men had been wise women, they would have brought something more practical. Can anybody say amen to that? That they would have probably brought some diapers, maybe a wind-up swing, maybe a pacifier, or wipes, or maybe even Spanish food for the baby. So we know that these wise men did wrong. Well, not really. They're gifts of great value. But what did they do right? What did the wise men do that was so wise? Well, first of all, they were watchful for the spiritual signs. They recognized God's voice and his hand. Who are these wise men? They were highly educated. They were lived in priestly castles, and especially engaged in a study in some very, very astronomic matters, and having degenerated it, its idolatry, they feared idolatry, but they were speakers after God. And not only that, they saw the stars as God's handiwork, like a writing tablet. They saw all these things, but what they didn't see, misconception today, they didn't see a star in a regular sense of the world. They didn't see a comet. They didn't see a conjunction of planets like Jupiter and Saturn and Mars and all of this. They didn't see all these things. It couldn't have been a conjunction of planets because it continued to shine for 2 years. Now notice, this is very interesting, because at this time they come to visit Jesus, people think that he had just been born. No, Jesus had been born for about 2 years. He was about two years old when the wise men came. And it's amazing how that this took place. And all the, during this 2 years, that star shined. And that's amazing, Brother Joy, because you would think the star would just shine a little bit and that would be it. We can look in the sky and we can see stars and we can see sometimes even satellites that are close enough that they look a whole lot brighter and all of this and a star and we can see all these things. But it's amazing. But notice this, this star, it didn't move, it didn't disappear, and it didn't reappear. It stayed right there for 2 years. It hung so low in the atmosphere that they could distinguish which house it hung over. Jerusalem and Bethlehem was only a few miles apart, but still yet, this star hung over this for a particular reason. And they saw something really supernatural in this. A new star, Chinese people believe it was recorded that there was appearance of a new star in about 4 BC, but it was unusually located, but still yet, this was stationary over Israel like a satellite, which all the stars moved across the sky except in this one star. This one star stayed the same. They knew that the star was a sign from God. Never had there been a star went to this length to stay over a certain place for 2 years. It's amazing how God works. It was a Shekinah light, like that light in Holy of Holies from God, burning presence. And like what had led the Israelites in the wilderness with Moses. It was kind of like this, and it appeared, and it didn't vanish away. And it stayed there, and this is so important. Now notice something, because the voice of God was in the hearts of these wise men and told them that this light pointed to the King of Kings, which they must see, and not only see, but also worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's amazing about this. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have churches on every corner. They didn't have gospel on the internet or TV or radio, etc. They listened to the voice of God and carefully obeyed his voice. That puts us to shame sometimes, maybe, but we need to understand. We need to also listen for the voice of God. Are we listening to the voice of God? Are we really? Is he speaking? He may be the light, a particular circumstance or prompting of the Holy Spirit and remembrance of the Holy Scripture. For these wise men, God used a star. You see, folks, I want to tell you, God will not have us to be ignorant. He will take care of us. We may not have the ability to do things that they did, but God has given us ability to do a lot of things that he didn't give them the ability to do because of all of this new technology and things that we've got. Now, there would be somebody say, hey, there's something up there in the sky. It's a UFO. It wasn't a UFO because it was a star from God. And people knew what it was. A UFO, people don't know what they are. They're mysterious and all this, even though it was mysterious to some people. But we still need to listen to the voice of God. For the wise men, as I said, God used a star. Fishermen, God used a miraculous catch, as he did with Peter and the disciples when they had fished all night and toiled, and God gave them the ability for a great draw, so they cast their nets and they were about to break. And then as witnesses to all bakers, God multiplied bread. And God took bread that had been baked, and he broke the bread and he divided the bread into fishes, and they spread it out and gave it to all the people that were there, around 1,500 people probably, says 5,000 without the men and children, so I figure they was probably just assuming that they're probably around 15. But hey, whether they was that many or not, God still allowed his bread to be multiplied. And then there's farmers. God speaks of unplowed ground. God warns farmers a lot of times with unplowed ground. And I tell you what, he would tell farmers, and farmers don't listen to anything like that anymore, it seems. He would tell them to tend the land so many years and then let 1 year let the land rest. Today, they just put a little more fertilizer on it or put a better cover crop, and they don't worry about giving the land a little rest. They just go ahead and they wire the land out, and then they wonder why that their land has to have all kinds of stuff added to it is because they really wire the land out. We don't need to wire the land out. We need to listen to God and think about this. Change the spot every once in a while. I know I was brought up on the farm, and I know what it was like, and they say, hey, we're gonna put this patch over here this time because we've had it over here about 6 or 7 years, whatever it was, and hey, we're going to change it. So they break up sod ground and all this and move the fields and so forth. But anyway, hey, farmers, God spoke to them about unplowed ground and all this. Then there was merchants. Buy the truth and sell it not, he said. I'm going to call this a good merchant. Buy the truth, but sell it not. Folks, listen. Let's buy the truth. How do we buy the truth? We buy it because it's already been paid for. Actually, it's really a gift. It's a gift from God. But this is what he says, to buy and sell not. So we don't, to buy the truth and sell it not. We need the truth, and we don't need to try to sell the truth. I noticed something very interesting this time that I haven't noticed in the last several years that I've been on the internet. Usually during Christmas time, I go on the internet and they have all kinds of free nativity scenes and all these pretty pictures and all of this, portraying Jesus and Mary and the baby and all this. But this year, I noticed almost every site that I went to, you know, you could get everything free, all the pictures you wanted and all of this. And there's still some places you can get a few here and there. But this time, almost everywhere you go, they want to sell you a picture. They want it to go through Amazon or something like this, and they want you to buy these pictures and all this. Well, I like free stuff, don't you? I just wanted to use it. I didn't want to sell it. I just wanted to put it on the internet or have some real pretty pictures and all of this of Jesus and so forth. But it gets harder every year, especially this year. It seemed to me that everybody is wanting to capture something where they can sell and make money. And we better be careful to be making money on our merchandise if we have something on there or whatever it might be. But I just noticed that this time how much harder it's been for me to get the pictures. Oh, sure, I could get some. I could get some. They'd have all kinds of different things on there and so forth that I didn't want nothing to do with. But these were pictures that I had desired to have. So our computer operators, when we understand we need to press delete to erase old lives, the computer operator finds out the delete thing is really a great thing on your internet, on your computers and all of this. So it's a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. I know when I first started doing things on the internet and all this, and I'd be doing the bulletins and so forth when I was at another church, and I'd have everything just perfect like I wanted. I had it just ready to print out. Guess what? I would accidentally sometimes hit the delete button. Judy, you ever do that? She's agreeing. She's done that too. So that proves we're human, right? So I'd hit that delete button. It'd wipe it all out. I finally realized you don't delete it until you save it. Then when you save it, you can go back and do whatever you want. Then the backspace is like to repent for our sins. And then the enter key is to enter the kingdom of Christ. We can enter the kingdom of Christ if we just trust God. So we find that Christ we will find that Christ, if we will like them and be earnest with God, he's going to take care of us. You see, they acted upon God's voice and his directions. They were moved to action. Here's the thing we need to understand, folks. We need to be moved by action sometimes. We have got so complacent that we just want to sit anymore and twiddle our thumbs and make me happy if you can. You know, sing a good fast song. Sing one I can pat my foot. Or don't sing it too fast now. I might have to pat my foot. Don't sing it too fast. I might just have to shout a little bit. I want to tell you something. It's not the fast song or the slow song. It's a message through the song, and it's where our heart is ready to accept whatever comes our way. Can you just say amen to that? So they were content with admiring the star. They were just admiring the star, comparing it with others, or just taking notes, or whatever it might be. Many others saw this star, but did nothing. Now notice something. Many today hear the Bible, but they don't put it into practice. Here's something real interesting, because the wise men didn't fully understand about this star, but here was some people, the scribes and the Pharisees. When they asked them where the Christ was to be born, they told the wise men that they, where it was at, but they're not going themselves. Now, it's going to be over a certain place, over Bethlehem of Judea, but we know where it's going to be, but we're not going there. In other words, we're not going over there. We're not messing with it. Hey, what happens, happens, and what will be, and we're just not going to worry about it and all of this. Their religion was head knowledge, but not obedience. They were doers, but not, or excuse me, they were not doers, but they were hearers only. They just heard the word. They knew where the star was. They had the prophecy. They had the scriptures and the scrolls and where the prophets had written down all this stuff, and they knew exactly where it was going to be. And they told the wise men, because the wise men went to them because they felt like they were in authority and they had the head knowledge and the Bible knowledge and the spiritual knowledge and all this to tell them where it was. So they were very interested in seeing what it was all about. They knew, but they wasn't going to do anything about it. They wasn't going there. So, hey, you know, that's kind of a scary truth in a way, because many who physically hear the gospel and have much light are far away from their hearts. And they will sometimes excuse themselves from the truth about the Word of God. Now notice something, this is important. The wise men didn't say, "Isn't that star nice? But let us go and worship." Now notice this is so interesting, because, hey, they were touched with God. And these wasn't some just everyday people. These were some people that had some wealth. And they it's amazing, because God had a plan for them. So why do we care what others might think? We're going to see what's taking place. What about if somebody said, "Hey, what are you three," well, they probably didn't call them wise, "what are you three dummies going to do? You're going to leave your wives at home? Who's going to take care of your wives and your children and your grandchildren while you're gone?" They probably said, "Hey, we must find the king. We've seen his star, and we're going to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going. But who'll take care of your family?" I'll grant you that these people did not let their family starve to death while they were gone. They had the wealth. They had fine mansions to live in. And I'm sure they had servants to help work around the house and take care of them and all this, and maybe homeschool the children and so forth. So I'm sure they didn't leave them without a penny in their pocket or nothing to help take care of their children. This is what a lot of people's always asking. I hear these people sometimes when God calls somebody in the ministry, oh, you better not do that. You'll starve to death. So many times I've heard people say, hey, you don't need to get into the ministry. Hey, you'll starve to death. You can't have a family because you'll starve to death. If God calls you, he will provide for you. Can you say amen to that? So we don't need to fear what people says. So now, hey, here they are wondering, but they must see the king. Here's the thing that I really like. They did not delay. They set out at once. They didn't know where it would be whether it disappear when they got part of the way or what. So they left. They didn't fool around about it. They put some action there. And we must move when God is stirring us and not put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow when God bids you to do something today. Because if you put it off, you may just not do it. What about the star? The light went out. So now, here we go again. So they were amazed at this, but the journey was difficult. Notice, they didn't just get on their little donkeys and ride, or on their camels or walk or whatever it was, whichever way they traveled. But they had to travel by night sometimes and rest by day because of the heat and all of this. And then they had to face some hostile tribes, and they had some broad rivers to tackle, and they had some seemed like trackless deserts where there wasn't any trails. Because in a desert, somebody make a trail out there, and then the wind comes and it blows that sand over, and it's just a wide, broad thing. There's no trail there. They had no way of knowing where to go other than this star was shining. So do we have to cross the desert to get to Jesus? Or, hey, are we even looking for a way to get to Jesus? You see, they had to overcome some great hindrances, folks. And sometimes we as Christians have to overcome some great difficulties. We have to face some things and go through some things. And there's a lot of hindrances. You see, the ignorance of people. What new king? The first thing you want to know, what new king is this? This is going to be the king of the Jews, folks. But hey, there was a hostility of Herod. You know what? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine once they told him that they come to find the new king of the Jews and what? I'm the king. I'm the man. Yeah, he was the king, all right, and he was an evil man too. But not only was he the one that was trying to find out some stuff, and the wise men was wise enough, they listened to God. They did not go back to him. Oh, you go and find that king. You go find that child and then bring me word. Oh, just bring me the word. Can't you just imagine his heart? Like Boss Hogg used to be on TV. Would just bring me the word? Well, I want to tell you something, folks. He had no good intentions whatsoever. So they had to overcome all these things. And then there was the unbelief of the priests and the scribes. How strange that none of them went with them. They had the word of God. They had the prophecy. They saw the star. But they didn't want to go. Hey, I can't leave this nice place I'm living. I can't go. I've got to stay here. So they had no desire for Christ. The wise men said, I will find Christ alone, no doubt. If none of you want to join me, we're going anyway. This is the thing that we need to understand, folks. All of your family may follow you. They may not want to go to the church you go to. They may not want to go to the place you go. They may not want the blessings of God that you're receiving. But hey, it doesn't matter. If none of them goes, go anyway. Many, many times I've seen families that the poor little wife would drag a bunch of children, look like an old duck and a bunch of little ducklings falling behind. And the husband, he'd grab his fishing pole and go to the creek or to the river or whatever. Or he wouldn't go along. No, I'm not going to that old church, that old pastor down there. All he preaches about is tithes and offerings. All he wants to do is just get up there and blab his mouth and all this. I want to tell you, folks, many, many times that poor little wife has took her children and went to church Well, I'm sorry, honey, but I'd love you to go today. I'm not going. Don't ask me to go no more. There's a lot of things that's happened over the years just like that. But that little mama, she didn't want to see her children going in the path as a husband. But I want to tell you, if you stay faithful with God, after a while, it'll work. I know my mom, hey, she put up with Dad for a long, long time, and Dad didn't want no part of church. All he'd like to go and peep around the door or look in the window because he didn't have air conditioning. When he got to shouting real good and speaking in tongues, he wanted to make fun of them, laugh at them and all this. But there come a time that Dad saw something that he couldn't get away with. You see, folks, when moms and grandmas keeps going and they don't let up, there's some things that takes place that's going to lead the entire family in. Mom didn't give up. She hung in there. And then before too long, even after God called me into the ministry, and that was one of my most exciting things to see was my dad. He got about halfway, about where Randy is in that area, somewhere in the church. And Dad, just I seen the Word of God was just tearing him to pieces, it seemed. And then I saw tears coming down Dad's face. Dad wasn't a crying man. Dad was, I always thought he's a hard-hearted person. But Dad had a tender place there, and it showed through that particular day. Let me tell you something, moms or dads, if you're a dad and you're coming along, hey, never give up. You come on to church, and sooner or later, something great is going to take place. So God is going to take care of it if we just don't give up. So they entered in to know Christ. So the star stopped over the house. Notice they were living in a house. And came to the house. They came to the house. And no doubt, hey, now what are they going to do? They kept looking for the star? No. They had found it. They entered into the house. And they were led to Christ. And they found him. And they lingered a distance. But then they knocked on the door and they entered in and they saw the face of God's incarnated, and he too must see Christ. We too must see Christ for ourselves. I believe God is going to open up some things to a lot of people if we just hang in there and keep praying. The scripture says that when they saw the young child, they fell down and worshiped. Now notice this. Others coming in might have said, many childs are nice looking as this one, but these men said, we saw. In other words, they saw who he really was, the physical child that he was, and they gave costly gifts. Now notice this, if poor men had come, they wouldn't have had a whole lot to give Jesus. But Jesus sent these wise men, and they were very rich, no doubt, or had a lot of wealth. So what did they do? First they came themselves, and then they gave their goods to the Lord. They gave them to Jesus. They brought them and put them at his feet. But here's something real interesting. I want you to notice this. The star disappeared. And after this, the star never appeared again. That particular star never appeared again. Isn't it something? They followed that star. God had it there for a specific reason and for a specific time. And when that time was fulfilled, the star just disappeared. It left. So now here they'd followed all of this, but now it's disappeared. Why? It did its purpose. Isn't God good? He's wonderful, is he not? Everything God has, he has it for a particular reason. Now, I want to tell you something. Mary and Joseph had to leave, and they had to leave right after these wise men left. Now, why? Because Herod was killing the babies from 2 years old down, and he was going to try to kill them all. He wanted to get Jesus one way or another, and a lot of little babies lost their lives. But God warned Joseph through a dream or through an angel, and he said, hey, go down to the land of Egypt and stay there. In other words, you go down there and tarry, and you'll be safe down there. And the wise men, they had enough sense, they left. But what I see is this, hey, they brought all this wealth, and they laid it at Mary and Joseph's feet to take care and help to take care of Jesus during the time they were over in a different country, over in Egypt and all of this. So it's amazing how God provides all of this. He's wonderful, is he not? Just before they come to the music, let me give you an illustration. A man who missed Christmas. I never did miss Christmas, did you? George Mason's life revolved around his business, meaning his bank. He lived alone. He had never married and refused to get involved in social activities. His brother's family was huge, and when it come to Christmas, and the children always made such a or too much noise, he said. Besides, he didn't want to buy presents for his nephews and nieces. That was a whole key there. Instead of buying all of this, but on Christmas Eve, after all the employees had left, George Mason went into the bank vault one final time. He just had to check the money one more time. Soundlessly, on newly oiled hinges, the great door swung shut behind him in darkness. And the final click of the automatic lock startled him, and he was panicking. Despite the pounding on the door, he realized that pounding on the door was no good because there was nobody there. Everybody had went home. So he finally settled down a little bit, and he said, I know, I'll just settle down here. In the morning, they'll come and open the vault, and everything will be all right. But then he remembered that tomorrow was Christmas. The office would be closed. Everyone would be at their house. Surely somebody would miss him, but who? Man alive. His heart was pounding, and he was feeling like that he was going to smother in all of this. But he sat on the cold floor of the vault and began to wait for Christmas. The darkness was so intense that it was almost brushed by your face. Christmas Eve slowly passed. He was extremely uncomfortable, hungry, and thirsty. Christmas Day passed even slower. He wanted to be alone for Christmas, but not this way. It was awful, more than 36 hours in the darkness. The day after Christmas, the chief cashier arrived and disengaged the automatic lock of the vault, but he didn't open the door. He just unlocked it. Without anyone seeing George Mason struggling out of the safety, and he went to the water fountain first to get him a drink of water, and then he grabbed his coat and he hauled out and went home to get cleaned up. And later that day, he returned to the office. No one had missed him. And he pounded his experience. Then he wrote some words to the love of people. To be needed, someone that is a purpose of life. This is the secret of happiness. Christmas is not about things or yourself. It's about Jesus. Comes the music. Can you say amen? So here a man was that he was so happy with his money, but he didn't want anything to do with his family. He didn't want his nieces and nephews to ask anything. Well, I want to tell you something right now. Hey, I like nieces and nephews. Sister Gordon and I was over at Sonny's barbecue last night, and one of our nieces just happened to be come in and sit in the table, and they got ready to leave, said, your food is already paid for, and we left a tip too, said, Merry Christmas. So I tell you, nieces and nephews are good to have. Can you say amen? It may cost us in the long run, but I tell you, I enjoyed it last night. So the wise men probably sent some of this timing stuff and so forth, and I want to tell you, God decides to give us a gift. And he gave us the gift of himself. One of the greatest gifts that he could give anybody was a gift of himself. And I want to tell you something right now, folks. It's not all about just the presents. The presents is wonderful, and they're exciting, especially for kids and adults too. and all this. It's exciting, but the most precious gift that was ever given was the Christ child born in a stable. And he lived, and he was here for about 33 and a third or something like that years. And he preached the gospel and all of this. And some of these people didn't want to even go see him as a baby, no doubt. They watched him grow up, and then, oh, who could that be? That's just Jesus. That's just the son of Joseph and Mary and all of this. No, that was the son of Mary, but Joseph was just the one that helped take care of him, even though he was no doubt a good stepfather to him. So we need to understand today, folks, we need to just put everything else aside this Christmas and be the wise person. What kind of wise person are you talking about? First of all, we need to listen to God. We need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to God more than we ever have in our entire life. Turn off the TV, listen for God. Go sit in a dark room. But don't get in a bank vault because you probably won't be able to get out. But sit in the dark. Just be real quiet and listen to the voice of the Lord. Springtime, we used to love to sit out on the porch and hear the crickets and the frogs and all of this. See the lightning bugs and all this, and it is so beautiful and all this. But I'm telling you, folks, we can see God in a lot of things in this world if we'll just look for it. So he's here to bless us, and he'll bless us through our Christmas, but never forget to give God the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. Let's stand, would you please? He's here this morning to help us and bless us.